This is Monkey Nuts, a short story written by D.H. Lawrence and read for you by Paul Metcalf.
Monkey Nuts. At first, Joe thought the job okay. He was loading hay on the trucks along with Albert, the corporal. The two men were pleasantly billeted in a cottage not far from the station. They were their own masters, for Joe never thought of Albert as a master, and the little sidings of the tiny village station was as pleasant a place as you could wish for. On one side, beyond the line, stretched the woods. On the other, the near side, across the green smooth field, red houses were dotted among flowering apple trees. The weather being sunny, work being easy, Albert a real good pal, what life could be better? After Flanders, it was heaven itself. Albert, the corporal, was a clean-shaven, shrewd-looking fellow of about 40. He seemed to think his one aim in life was to be full of sun and nonsense. In repose, his face looked a little withered, old. He was a very good pal to Joe, steady, decent, and grave under all his mischief, for his mischief was only his laborious way of skirting his own ennui. Joe was much younger than Albert, only 23. He was a tallish, quiet youth, pleasant-looking. He was of a slightly better class than his corporal, more personable. Careful about his appearance, he shaved every day. "I haven't got much of a face," said Albert. "If I was to shave every day like you, Joe, I should have none." There was plenty of life in the little goods yard. Three porter youths, a continual come and go of farm wagons bringing hay, wagons with timber from the woods, coal carts loading at the trucks. The black coal seemed to make the place sleepier, hotter. Round the big white gate the station master's children played, and his white chickens walked, whilst the station master himself, a young man getting too fat, helped his wife to peg out the washing on the clothesline in the meadow. The great boat-shaped wagons came up from Playcross with the hay. At first the farm men wagoned it. On the third day, one of the land girls appeared with the first load, drawing to a standstill easily at the head of her two great horses. She was a buxom girl, young, in linen overalls and gaiters. Her face was ruddy. She had large blue eyes.
"Now, that's a wagoner for us boys," said the corporal loudly.
"Whoa," she said to her horses, and then to the corporal, "which boys do you mean?"
"We're the pick of the bunch. That's Joe, my pal. Don't you let on that my name's Albert," said the corporal to his private.
"I'm the corporal."
"And I'm Miss Stokes," said the land girl coolly, "if that's all the boys you are."
"You know you couldn't want more, Miss Stokes," said Albert politely.
Joe, who was bareheaded, whose grey flannel sleeves were rolled up to the elbow, and whose shirt was open at the breast, looked modestly aside, as if he had no part in the affair.
"Are you on this job regular, then?" said the corporal to Miss Stokes.
"I don't know for sure," she said, pushing a piece of hair under her hat, and attending to her splendid horses.
"Oh, make it a certainty," said Albert.
She did not reply. She turned and looked over the two men coolly. She was pretty, moderately blonde, with crisp hair, a good skin and large blue eyes. She was strong, too, and the work went on leisurely and easily.
"Now," said the corporal, stopping as usual to look round, "pleasant company makes work a pleasure. Don't hurry it, boys."
He stood on the truck surveying the world. That was one of his great and absorbing occupations, to stand and look out on things in general. Joe, also standing on the truck, also turned round to look what was to be seen. But he could not become blankly absorbed as Albert could. Miss Stokes watched the two men from under her broad felt hat. She'd seen hundreds of Alberts, khaki soldiers standing in loose attitudes, absorbed in watching nothing in particular. She'd also seen a good many Joes, quiet, good-looking young soldiers with half-averted faces, but there was something in the turn of Joe's head, and something in his quiet, tender-looking form, young and fresh, which attracted her eye. As she watched him closely from below, he turned as if he felt her, and his dark blue eye met her straight, light-blue gaze. He faltered and turned aside again, and looked as if he were going to fall off the track. A slight flush mounted under the girl's full, ruddy face. She liked him. Always, after this, when she came into the sidings with her team, it was Joe.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?